I'm going to blow your mind today, your collective mind, and I'm not even going to ask your permission to do it. I'm just going to do it. I shouldn't have even announced it. I don't know why I did. But if it becomes too much for you, just turn off the video, because I'm going to keep talking, okay? This has to do with spirit and with flesh. And with the things that you do in this life, and the things that you don't do. Galatians 5, verse 17. For the flesh is lusting against the spirit, yet the spirit against the flesh. Now, these are opposing one another, lest you should be doing whatever you may want. Let me ask you this. Did you have any say in becoming flesh? No. You were born into this realm, a being of flesh, a son or daughter of Adam. Next question. Did you have any say in the fact that the Spirit of God is in you? To the degree that it is, whatever that degree may be, I'm not even going to wait for you to answer. I will answer it for you, just as I did the former question. No. You had no choice. The Spirit of God is in every single human being. We have the Spirit in measure. You might say we all have the same amount of flesh. Flesh is flesh. You know, in this case, Paul is not speaking of the epidermis when he says flesh. He's not speaking of your pores, your follicles. He's talking about that part of humanity which is selfish and wants its own way. To counteract that, God has put a measure of spirit in each person. Even people who don't believe in God have a measure of spirit, because spirit is the source of all life. So if anyone is breathing, and if their heart is firing a certain amount of times every minute, that person has the Spirit of God. A leaf on a tree, if it's still on the tree, has the Spirit of God in it. As soon as it falls off the tree, it doesn't have the Spirit of God anymore. The Spirit of God is life. Now, to those of us who believe the evangel, God has simply added more spirit. It's the dosage that makes you what you are. Not the kind. You don't get a different kind of spirit. You just get more of it. But notice what Paul says here. The flesh, which you didn't ask for and you have, is lusting against the spirit, which you didn't ask for and you have. Even if you have a measure of the spirit that causes you to believe the evangel, this was given to you. And so that's your first, quote, problem. Is you have this wrestling match inside of you between the flesh and the spirit. Paul says flesh is lusting against the spirit, yet the spirit against the flesh. The spirit is lusting against the flesh. Flesh is lusting against the spirit. There's a battle. It's like Tyson versus Holyfield or Ali versus Frazier. You have the flesh and the spirit. And these are opposing one another. This is a divine mix that you did not invent. And not only did you not invent the elements of it, the flesh and the spirit, but you did not invent the fact that these are opposing one another and they are lusting against one another. It's like you're in the stands sitting back watching this battle. And you know that this is how it is. Sometimes you look at yourself like a third person, like you yourself are in the stands of your own life, and you're looking at yourself doing things, and you say to yourself, why am I doing this? You say that about the bad things you do, and if you're like me, you also say that about the good things that you do. And for some reason, I just had the inclination to go to YouTube today and see how many videos I had made in my career. Under my channel, I got 1,024 videos. Oh, wow. I look at myself, how the heck did I do that? 837,000 views total. How did I do that? So I'm a spectator in my own life. And sometimes when I'm smoking a cigarette, something I've never done my entire life, just this past 3 months, I'll look at myself, what the hell am I doing? I'll look down at myself, like, what am I holding this stupid thing? It's ridiculous. So these things are happening without you signing up for it or volunteering for it. Now, here's the common reading of 2 Corinthians, of Galatians 5:17. The flesh is lusting against the spirit, yet the spirit against the flesh. Ali and Foreman, now these are opposing one another, lest you should be doing whatever you may want. Lest you should be doing whatever you may want. So you are under some kind of constraint from both the flesh and the spirit. And the common reading of this is that the spirit keeps you from doing whatever bad thing you want, right? That's how we read this. That's how it's been taught to us in the Christian religion. But this is a two-way street. And this is the shocking thing. This is what's going to blow your mind. Is that it's not only that the Spirit keeps us from doing all the bad things that we want to do, but the flesh, which God keeps in the mix, the flesh keeps us from doing all the good things that we want to do. Nobody looks at it from that angle. I'm the first guy in history, since Paul, to look at it from this angle. I think I've never heard this. The flesh that is in you, and Jesus Christ, if he wanted to, he could eliminate your flesh. He could eliminate this wrestling match. It's like the devil on your left shoulder and the angel on your right shoulder, and they're bickering, and one's tempting you. They're both tempting you. One's tempting you to do good, one's tempting you to do evil. And to keep us from doing all the good things that we want to do, there's the flesh. See, we never look at it that way, but I contend to you that you would be an insufferable, arrogant, proud person if you could enact every good thing you wanted to do. You'd be impossible to live with. Nobody could stand you except me. I love you no matter what, but it would be rough. So to make sure that doesn't happen, God keeps the flesh in play, and the flesh lusts against the spirit. Don't you think that if you could stop this, you would do it? I'm tired of this dichotomy. I'm tired of this polar opposition of flesh and spirit. Flesh and spirit. This is ridiculous. And yet, you didn't invent the flesh, you didn't invent the spirit, and you didn't invent the opposition or the lusting. They're lusting one against the other, lest you should be doing whatever you may want to do, whether good or bad. Kind of like you're looking at your own life from the stands, wondering what the hell is going on here. But here's the good news, and I'll end with this, is the Spirit of God eventually wins. Because when our bodies go the way of the grave, or we're snatched away, and we're going to be snatched away, that's my belief. We're not going to have to go through the death process. Paul says there is a generation that doesn't happen to. Anyway, when that happens, you trade in this dying flesh. And the flesh is acting the way it does because it has mortality sewn in it. Your flesh itself, there's nothing evil about your epidermis, but it's dying, you see. It's not completely invigorated by spirit. We each have the spirit in measure. I think that's Romans 12:3. No, that's faith. God parts to each the measure of faith, but he also parts the measure of spirit. But when we turn in these bodies through either the snatching away or through death and resurrection, we'll no longer be debilitated by mortality. But the spirit will remain. That's going to be great. The spirit will remain. The flesh will go. So then we will no longer be fleshly beings. We will no longer be ruled by the soul, by the emotions. We will be spiritual. Then the wrestling match will be over. But for now, there's something to be learned by it and through it. It's not going to last forever, folks. So enjoy it while it lasts.